it's very easy to just, as they say, death by a thousand slides, you just fall into this rote speech. But if you have a very clear emotional intention of, I want to blank, I want to inform, I want to educate, I want to inspire. When that's what's driving you, that is going to fuel the voice with an emotional core. And that is going to be picked up by the people that are in the room. And so I go through exercises to kind of break things down, find emotional intentions, different ways to work them and get used to communicating in this deeper way.
Hi, and welcome to the Sunday Lunch Project Manager podcast for Sunday, the 10th of September, 2023. This is your host, Nigel Creaser, and today I've got the second part of the interview with John Henney, the vocal coach. So enjoy. So I have a number of sponsors, affiliate links, in the way that it's set up, that have kindly allowed me to share their services, really. The first one is Mike Kling, and Mike runs PM online PM courses, and it is a great resource for getting those fundamentals of project management trained, reasonably priced, and Mike presents it in an accessible and clear manner. You can check out some of his videos on his YouTube channel and kind of give you a view of where they are. But the code for that, if you go to nigelcreaser.com/onlinepmcourses, all one word, lowercase, that'll redirect you to it. There's varying different levels that you can buy. You can buy individual courses, you can buy pathways as well, if you like. And I get a kickback off those. Mike kindly shares me that. So if you do jump on and use it, I hope you find it really useful. I think he has money back guarantees and things like that as well, so there's very limited risk on that. So jump on that. And that again is nigelcreaser.com/onlinepmcourses, and enjoy. So if you're listening to this, that means you've had a week's gap from episode one, part one, which means that you've had a week where you've been wondering what on earth was going to be said next in the next pieces. Wondering what other nuggets of information were coming from my guest. And you've had a week where you haven't been able to apply those nuggets because you didn't know they existed or what they were. Which is a little bit frustrating, really. Because imagine how much more efficient, productive, or amazing you could have been. But you know there's a way around it. You know that you can pop along to Patreon. www.patreon.com/SundayLunchPM, or to Spotify, have a look at the feed, and there's a little lock. Click on the lock and it'll ask you to pay. It's the price of a coffee. That's it. A month. And you'll get everything a week early. And you won't have bits like this in it with me wittering on about becoming a patron and things like that. So, have a think. And anyway, I'll shut up now because you're probably thinking, just get on with it, Nigel. So yeah, here's the second part of the show.
Very often we associate, and there's truth to this, we will associate what we perceive as deeper voices as having more authority. But we make the mistake of thinking that deeper means lower in pitch. And we'll find people that, you know, they're speaking down here, and so the voice is rather low. That doesn't have a lot of energy. Low frequencies don't travel as fast or have as much energy as higher frequencies. And so I can say something on one pitch, I can be speaking here, and then I can make my vocal track just bring out the high frequencies. Now I haven't changed the pitch, but now I drop my vocal track and suddenly I have a richer, more resonant voice. It's on the same pitch. I'm just bringing out more resonance. So it's finding where your natural pitch lies. A quick way to do that is just go like you're agreeing with something. Say, mm-hmm. Try that for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You inflect up on that second pitch. So I want you to take that second pitch and just feel that for a moment. There you go. And you'll feel a spot where it tends to get really, really buzzy. You'll kind of feel it in your lips and your nose. There it is for me. Right there. Try that.
Yeah, I got
there it. Now, when you're in that really buzzy spot, then say something really positive. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I can see. I can hear that myself.
Yeah, the voice now is going to be in the optimal place for you, and it's going to have more acoustic energy, and that acoustic energy is going to fill the room, and you're going to be much easier to be heard.
So how do you get into the habit of using that pitch? I'm trying to think of how to do it there as I'm talking to you there. Yeah. Sorry, that resonance level there. I get it kind of there. I can hear it when I said level then. To keep that going forward. It's kind of, again, I'm thinking back to people who I've seen who are speakers who have grasped me. And there was a guy called Colin Turner, who's a British writer and thinker and sort of self-development books. And I remember watching him speak, and I just sat there and just like, you're just such a good orator. And I think about it now, and I think about that, what you just said there, and I can see where it was that resonance that was coming through that I kind of hear in my head as being a deep, manly, powerful voice. The Tony Robbins, again, I draw that because he obviously, just thinking about what you're saying there, you can hear that in his voice as well when he's speaking. How do you get yourself, that exercise we've got there is great, but how do you make yourself use that tool that we've obviously got?
It's a process of awareness and repetition. When I first started teaching voice and having a pretty heavy schedule, I would be vocally tired at the end of the day. And I realized it's not the singing, but it's the talking that's making me tired. And I went, you know what? I'm speaking at too low of a pitch. I'm working too hard. So what I did is it took me maybe a week or so, but every time before I would answer the phone, this was back when we actually answered our phones, before I picked up the phone, I would say, hello, this is John. And just doing that, just finding and resetting that optimal pitch doesn't take that long before it starts to become more habitual. And then you'll find when the voice starts to get tired, because when the voice is tired, the tendency is to want to drop the voice. And then now, in order to be heard, I'm going to start to use muscle and squeeze my voice, which is just going to fatigue the voice even more. So it really is just a matter of, especially if I'm tired, I need to remind myself to make sure I don't let my pitch drop. Let the resonance do the work.
That's brilliant. I'm thinking practicality for me is I'm thinking there is, if I'm about to go onto a conference call, if I'm about to go into a meeting, as you say, if I'm about to do a call or a presentation or something like that, is using that step just before I took, is that, and does that kind of just, I suppose it's like anything, isn't it? The more you practice it, the more your brain, oh, we're doing that now. Your brain does that and switches it on, doesn't it? But I suppose it is that thing of you just doing that a couple of times. And I guess you'll go in the session and you'll start like that. And maybe later on, you'll forget partway through and drift. And then, but over time, does it develop up? And it is just practice, practice, practice.
It is. It's just that reminder. And what you said about doing it a few times before you go into the call, that will work wonders. Not only is it going to help your pitch, but it's going to help you just dial in to your vocal energy.
Yeah.
You know, if it, not to get too metaphysical, but ultimately so much of the universe is vibration. And as they look at string theory and all of these things, and the voice, all the voice is, what sound is it's vibrating air molecules. You're creating a system of lower and higher pressure that starts this oscillation with the opening and the closing of the vocal fold. And this vibration reaches the listener into the ear, to the inner ear, to the brain, where it's vibrating in the brain and neurons start to vibrate. And this connection is incredibly powerful. If you infuse this with energy and then you start utilizing clear emotional intention, certainly when the stakes are raised and it's an important conversation, you'll find that people will listen to you on a deeper level and you can really connect with them. And it's a profound change.
I can see how it can work. And again, I'm casting round about people who I know, who I work with and who I empathize with and connect with for no real reason. and it'll be these people who are able, and where I've seen people not do it, and I've really been sat back and gone, there was something uncomfortable and I didn't trust what was being said. I kind of sat there going, there's nothing there. And it's really, really interesting that that connection point there of having that energy to make that connection, how that again will help that empathy. And now I can see that those relationships get built better, and you can see how it's easier for someone in that situation who you might perceive as being, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You just look at that person. How are they so easy to get on with? And people get on really well with that person. And actually, you realize it's that kind of thing. And why people will follow those people because of the way that they speak. And don't get into politics, but a lot of the political leaders who get big followings, I'm guessing they've got people like you teaching them to do these sort of things. And that's where you get that empathy and that connection, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at politics, this connection with the voice is so important that on the dark side of this, I will joke, but it's actually not really a joke, that you won't find a cult leader or a con artist with a poor speaking voice. They have great speaking voices. They have energy. They know how to use the voice, in this case, to manipulate people for not such great goals. But you can use this and not in a nefarious way and not in a dishonest way. This is a way for you to take what is important. These things that you know can help people, can help the business, and to get people to really listen to what you have to say and understand what you have to say.
Yeah, that's great. It's brilliant. Yeah, it all brings us back around to that influence thing, isn't it? And influence can be used positively or negatively at the end of the day. It's kind of, but that's how it kind of works. One of the things I was thinking, health-wise, because you mentioned that you lost a lot of weight, you were trying to get healthy and stuff, and you had some problems. There are a lot of project managers and a lot of managers in middle management that struggle with health and lifestyle issues. It's kind of a cliche, isn't it? Oh, cliches are usually pretty much true. And you've got someone who's poor diet, under hydrated, maybe recreational cigarettes and alcohol or other things. If people are in that situation where they have essentially a rundown body and they're not treating their and all of those things I mentioned there don't treat your vocal cords very well. Is there some things that you would say to someone, well, actually, if you want to, in order to best put us in the best physical condition to be able to maximise on this voice, some behaviours, some habits that you would recommend or that you teach?
Well, it would be no secret that smoking is not a good idea. Alcohol can also be hard for the voice. One of the issues that people have when they drink, and when I used to drink, this was certainly the case, and then I'd want to eat afterwards, and I'd go to sleep with a belly full of alcohol and food. And there is a muscle that needs to stay tightened so that this stomach acid or this pepsin doesn't come up and travel up and the esophagus and burn your vocal folds, that you don't get this GERD or this acid reflux. And alcohol will relax this muscle and the digestion of all this food. So that, number one, dealing with reflux can be injurious to the voice. Just being properly hydrated. And if all you're subsisting on is coffee here or there and processed food, you're likely not properly hydrating the cords. Food and diet, the more water-rich foods you eat, the better. Fruits and vegetables, processed foods, the more they learn about them, the worse they really are. I mean, that's one of the most insidious exports of America, is our standard American diet is really just starting to spread health issues around the globe. And so getting back to a more natural diet, it affects your microbiome. These foods, they're even seeing now in terms of your cognitive abilities, they can have adverse effects, not just on the vocal folds. And also, and I know this is hard, but making sleep a priority. Because this is when the body is able to heal tissue and take care of itself. And the voice needs rest. So learning to put down the electric devices, allow the brain to become more calm, and getting to bed when you can and getting as much sleep as possible.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I was thinking that it would probably be the standard sort of thing of what would help.
Yeah.
People don't always connect those good behaviors with something like this. There might be people think, right, I need to go and get a vocal coach, and I need to kind of get someone to teach me how to do this. I need to do all that. I need to do all vocal exercise beforehand before I go out and do some speaking or go and do a presentation. And actually, if you haven't got those fundamentals in place, or you're at the extreme end of them being bad, you're kind of throwing bad money after good, isn't it? Good money after bad, even. So because you're just not going to get. It's an interesting one about a motorcycle magazine that I was reading years ago now, and they did a test where they were going around Brands Hatch, I think it was, in the UK, and they had whatever motorcycle it was, and all the trick bits you could get on it. You could put carbon fibre on it, you put a new exhaust, you do this, do that, and all the different things. And they had a pro rider, and they would do one of the things driving around, right, 0.2 of a second, do that, six, whatever. They did it over and over, and they did over everything that you could trick your bike with. And I can't remember what they did. And then they said, actually, the power to weight gain that you could get from all these different things, even combined, was nowhere near what you could get if you lost half a stone from the rider. And it's kind of like, you spend 30 grand on pimping a bike, actually, or you could spend a few days in the gym and drop a few burgers or whatever. And that was the thing, is like when you've got someone out there going out and buying a bit for their bike because they want it to be a little bit more responsive. And I see the same sort of thing. You kind of want, if you want to go out and do these training, do that thing, which they can help, there's bigger benefits in many ways. In one, once you find it, there's a load of benefits there to do those other things as well first.
If you get healthy, and just take care of yourself reasonably well, and just have an awareness of your voice, the basic things you need to do to keep your voice healthy as well. Find your optimal speaking pitch. Learn how to use resonance to power the voice. It's going to go a long way to helping your voice last. Very often, these things that we do when we're younger, we don't really see the cost, right? We can stay out late. We can eat poorly. We can drink, not take care of ourselves. We get up. We still look pretty good. We may not feel great, but as we age, that's when the bill comes due. And you're going to want your voice to last your lifetime. In most cases, unless there's some extreme illness, your voice is meant to last you. And if you just take some basic care of it, it will.
That's brilliant. So I think we're coming upon an hour nearly on our chatting, I think, from what I can see. I think we could literally talk. It's 45 minutes or so. We could talk for a long, long time. But then it'll wear out our voice and stuff. Just thinking about obviously, we haven't talked about it. You've got your course and you've got books and things like that. What sort of things that you do on your online courses, and what sort of things do you do while your books covering? And I know you've got one coming out later in the year as well, haven't you?
Yeah. What I cover is really going through these musical devices in order to start working them in to your voice and start to have this awareness and play with different aspects, play with different volumes, tone, melody, and then, which I think is incredibly important, exercises in which to employ these emotional intentions. A typical one is, let's say that you've got to run someone or a group through some new software, or you're giving a rather dry PowerPoint presentation. It's very easy to just, as they say, death by a thousand slides, you just fall into this rote speech. But if you have a very clear emotional intention of, I want to blank, I want to inform, I want to educate, I want to inspire. When that's what's driving you, that is going to fuel the voice with an emotional core. And that is going to be picked up by the people that are in the room. And so I go through exercises to kind of break things down, find emotional intentions, different ways to work them and get used to communicating in this deeper way.
I love that thought there of having that clear view, like from a clear point of view of why we're in this meeting is something we should be doing anyway. Why are we having this conversation? Because if we don't consider that, I think sometimes we don't. But I think that having that view of the emotional intent of that meeting as well is really good, because that'll change the way that you engage regardless of the voice as well. I'm assuming it by thinking about the fact that you want to empathize with these people, by thinking about the fact that you want to help someone in that room, or you want to make it easier, or you just convince them or influence them, immediately changes what our brains will, I'm guessing, take on the role there and go, right, here's a little bit of seeding of what you need to do, and change the way that we talk.
Yeah, this comes from the world of acting. An actor, if they have a scene where the character is receiving horrible news, they're not going to think, okay, I'm just going to be upset, because that's just an emotion. They need something deliberate. They need this goal. So what the character, the intention may be, is they're going to want to defy this news, to rebuke this news. And so that, as they're being told this terrible news and they want to defy, no, this isn't true, that starts to create the emotional context. And then this sense of rage and anguish is natural, and it starts to come out in their voice rather than a manufactured emotion. When people come out, let's say they have to give a public talk, or start a meeting, they'll very often just say, hello, my name is John. It's very nice to meet you. But it's just this formality they're getting out of the way. What if my intention was to greet or to welcome? And I really feel that intention. Then I may walk out and say, hello, my name is John. It's great to be here. I may pause. I may have a different energy. My eyes are going to have a different look, a different focus. And all of these things are being picked up on.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It reminds me, what you said there reminds me. Last year, I saw a presentation or a link to a presentation that was sent on. It was a guy doing a TED Talk. I can't remember his name, but it was a TED Talk about nothing, was the talk. And do you know the one I mean? I don't know if you've seen it.
Is this the comedy bit where he's doing the spoof of TED Talks?
Yeah, and he takes off his glasses. I don't wear glasses. He's enthralling to watch. And the way that he pauses, the way that he does the different things, just as you were doing there, it was that same thing of stop. Let the words sink in.
Yeah.
Then move on. With that sincerity and integrity, I can see, and I know that with the TED Talk, there's a lot of coaching. I imagine a lot of the vocal coaching that you do, similar sort of stuff for the guys who do the TED Talks that would get that kind of support to do that, because they are, I've not seen a single one that isn't compelling, regardless of the topic. I think it's very rare that if you watch one, that you don't want to watch it to the end. They keep you, they hook you.
Yeah, and I mean, TED Talks are a very specific style, and it's not that I want everyone, when they're talking to leading a meeting or public speaking, that they fall into kind of this TED Talk style. I think that everybody has their own personality, their own way of explaining things, their own way of resonating with people. And I'm a big believer in truth and sincerity. I don't want people putting on falsities with their voice or going into some amped up performance. I want it to really be organic and a reflection of who they are. But if they work these tools just like great singers, there are devices that singers know they can use that just captivate people. And they're always in the business of reawakening interest. Our attention spans are probably the shortest they've ever been in recent times. And we're always dealing with these wandering attention spans. And so, you know, if you're at a point of the talk and maybe it's getting slightly dry and you see people start to shift in their seats and look around, you know, you can do a pattern interrupt. You can change what you're saying. I just sped up, I increased the volume, and that kind of snaps them back to awareness. And so it's also not ignoring your audience. It's feeling their energy back to you as well, and staying engaged in that and staying attentive to that.
Yeah, that's really key as well, because I do think sometimes, and I've seen it, I'm guilty of doing it myself, trying to charge through my slides, trying to charge through my presentation, and just get it done and not think, right, is that message landing? I've learned over the years to kind of check, recheck, especially on some of the ones where it's been where I'm not making a specific thing. I've just got my brain's going off down another rabbit hole now, where it's not a... No, it's gone. It's completely gone. Yeah, I'm having one of those brain fart moments.
That's all right. I have those more and more these days.
Yeah, it's distracting to kind of getting that, and you get in the flow and you think, hang on, where did that go? Because I was thinking, your brain's thinking about the next bit that you're going to say. And I suppose that happens in presentations as well. Like happens in those conversations where you end up going beyond where you're thinking about, and you're thinking about the next quest. Next bit that you're going to put in, and you're not thinking about what's landing, and you can
it's easy to get caught up in what you're in yourself, and actually the whole point of that thing isn't about you. It's about the people out there that are listening to what you're saying, whether it's two people or 200 people or a stadium full of music fans being sung to. If that person isn't connecting with them, it isn't, it's no point doing it, is there?
That's true. And this making it about the others and not about yourself is so vitally important. And if someone comes to me and they're dealing with stress about public speaking, stage fright, there is a certain amount of that is natural. And that little bit of anxiety can kind of get you worked up and ready.
Yeah.
But you don't want it to become debilitating. And I tell people in that circumstance that's you turning inward, right? You're worried about what others are going to think. You're worried about rejection. And these are primal fears from way back. But what I do when I feel that, I just stop and remind myself, look, I'm not here for me. I am here for those who've taken time, whether voluntarily or not, but they're here to listen to me. It's about them. I need to put my energy and focus outward. And then I always say to myself, I give you permission to not like me, because not everyone's going to like you. It's out of your control. Give them that permission. Let it go. And then go and be there for the people that need to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And actually, even if they don't like you, it doesn't really matter. If the information that is useful to them and it lands and they use it, even if they didn't like you doing it, you still have achieved what you wanted to do.
Absolutely. Not everyone's going to like you. Trust me, the more I'm sure you putting out a podcast, the more you put yourself out there in the world, you find out there's people that don't like what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and that's right, because actually there's people who I don't like. So it's kind of, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like there's stuff that I don't like. So, I think it's funny. I listened to a number of marketing podcasts. Seth Godin's one of them. And he talks about that concept of so many fans, 10,000, 15,000 fans or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's, you just need to find your niche in some ways. And in that room, you kind of need to find that niche and get that message across to the majority of the people in the room. And then sometimes you might need someone else to get the rest of the room in and kind of go, right, can you go and talk to them separately and convince them as well and work together as a team? So
yeah,
I mentioned earlier that you've got a new book coming out sometime soon. Do you want to just give us a little taster into what that is? And I know it's not actually out this minute, so people won't be able to get hold of it, but I'm sure they'd be intrigued to know what it's about.
Yeah, so it's the title at the moment is The Compelling Speaker. And it really is just all of these concepts to help create an awareness of your voice, the power of your voice, some simple exercises you can do to start bringing more musicality into your voice and to be able to communicate better. And I've worked hard at not making it a long, rambling book. I wanted it to be on the shorter side because I know people are incredibly busy, and I wanted the information to be impactful. And I'm also going to have an area for people who get the book where I'll have some exercises online so they can hear examples and I'll show them how to do the exercises.
Yeah, because I imagine with this topic, it's quite difficult to get it over with the real, like just that literal exercise you showed me before, getting that over in the written words, quite difficult. You do your audible versions, you've got a little bit where you can include that in there, can't you? But the written word ones kind of make it a little bit harder. So
that's,
I can imagine,
right. And once you hear it, I mean, I've kept the exercises really simple. I'm not trying to turn anyone into a singer. However, if you do the exercises, you might find your singing voice improving.
Yeah, cool. Well, we all could do with that. especially on karaoke night after a few beers.
Yeah.
Well, John, it's been fantastic to talk to you. I've got a few tips there just for me. So I've succeeded in my outcome. if everybody else gets something, that's going to be even better. If people want to continue on the conversation, if they want to get hold of you, what's the best place to go?
Yeah, my main website is johnhenney, johnhenny.com. And then my site for speakers is compellingspeaker.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, John, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
To you as well. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Another great sponsor of the show comes in the form of Air Manual. Air Manual is it's a tool for documenting process, which and best practices. It's run it's a company formed by one of my interviewees, Alexis Kingsbury. And I kind of summarised why. My view of where we see documentation, a lot of my experience has been people will document something, a process, they'll put it in a Visio diagram that gets loaded onto a SharePoint site or something similar, and then a bunch of that. So then once that diagram's been shared with senior management, they're happy they have a process in the business. But then the detailed procedures underneath it might be with documents in just poorly kept and not linked easily and not updated. And what Air Manual does, it allows you to put in it's a tool for doing this kind of thing. You whack it in, the service in there, get in there, put in your process, your flow, and you build it down to as low a level of detail, even to the point of checklists where people can check off they've done it. So it creates that guided checklists, easy to create, easy to maintain, and all in one place. And no one's kind of rooting around to find the SharePoint. And then when you change to new SharePoint services and all that stuff, it's all there. So if you pop along to nigelpriester.com/airmanual, there's a bit more detail there and a link there to click on to go and get. I think they offer a trial and things like that. So it's something that I think can easily reduce the amount of errors, rework, etc. within our organisation. So take a look. Well, I hope you enjoyed that second part of the conversation with John. I know that some of the tips and tricks that he was talking about, I've tried to use. Enjoy. Having some fun playing with those. And speak to you again. Cheers now. Bye. So this is my final wrap-up. Every week you're going to hear this, you're going to get bored of it, but you can always click next podcast if so. If you have enjoyed it, if you listen to this podcast to the end of this show and you think that was great, I'd love to be able to help Nigel out. There are loads of ways you can do it. The first and obvious way is to share the podcast, send it out to people. If you know colleagues and friends who'd benefit from it, you think they'd enjoy it, just send them the link. Grab one of the links or send them to www.nigelcreaser.com/podcasts. That's www.nigelcreaser.com/podcasts. And that will push them over to a Linktree link, and it's got all of the different ways they can consume the podcast. If you are feeling generous and have a big bag of cash, you could grab a copy of one of my books. Obviously, they're available in all the usual places, and print and digital. Again, jump on the website, www.nigelcreaser.com/shop, and that will give you a list of all the different ways that you can contribute and grab copies of the book. Also got links to all my guests' books on there as well, where I get a little bit of a kickback from them. If you are of a sporting mind, I have a number through doing some of my judo and running antics. I've managed to secure a few affiliate links and affiliates there as well. So in there somewhere in the sponsors page, there's links to those as well. So clicking onto those and grabbing if you're looking to get super fit, then that would be fabulous as well, and I get a little kickback from those. I have a Patreon account. It's patreon.com/sundaylunchpm. So again, you can ping something in there, buy me a coffee or whatever. And finally, obviously the most important is coming back, listen again, because the more of you that come back, the more visibility I get, because there's more times that it's downloaded and all the SEO works and things like that. So yeah, that's it. So if you can help me out, I would be much appreciated. If you can't, don't worry about it. Thank you very much. Cheers now. Bye. My latest, the latest affiliate that I've got on the show now is Riverside. I use Riverside to do my interviews, Riverside FM. it kind of offers you a whole, if you like, micro studio management producer tool and goes beyond that. Has a really good free layer. And I've been using it for a while now. I find it really good. When I've had issues, even though I'm not on one of the higher paid levels, the support has been quick, responsive, and of high quality, and people keen to help me. The organization seems really good. The product seems really intuitive. Quality is really good as well. And it's a clever way of doing it is when you're recording through your browsers, so you've not got loads of desktop resources being used compared to some other products that I've used. And what they also do is they stream a lower quality version of it up onto as you're doing the interview, so you're not burning bandwidth while you're doing the interview and potentially impacting on the quality of the conversation. And then at the end, it uploads it, the higher quality from your browser. It's just a really good way of doing it. So if you are thinking of doing a podcast and you're supposed to do a podcast, I would recommend using this tool. I found it really good. Best of the tools that I've tried using to date. And you can get that at nigelcreaser.com/riverside, and that will redirect you to my kickback page on their site, and there I will get a little kickback from them. So take a look. Thanks. Well, it's goodbye from me, Nigel Creaser, and it's goodbye from him, the Sunday Lunch PM. Goodbye.